Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for downloading episode 157 of the Golf Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam from golfunfiltered.com. You can find me on Twitter at golfunfiltered, and you can send me an email, golfunfiltered@gmail.com. Bob Lampkin is a name that most golfers will know quite well because most of us have probably played with Lampkin Grips at some point. He is the president and CEO of Lampkin Grips, and he and I have a great conversation not only about the family history of the name Lampkin, of the company history, where it came from back in 1925 in the Chicago suburbs of all places. It's basically a home game here today, folks, for me. But we also talk a little bit about three great new products that Lampkin Grips is releasing as of April 1st that Bob himself will tell you a little bit more about. So this is a great conversation about a part of golf equipment or a piece of golf equipment that we probably don't think too much about, but we definitely should because it is the one piece of equipment that we always use regardless of club that we hit. A couple quick shout-outs, as always, first and foremost to my friends over at the Hacker's Paradise and to those of you who are listening to this show on the THP Radio app, and also my friends over at Cleveland and Srixon. As you guys know, I'm playing their equipment this year. I went and tried the utility club, the ZU65 utility club. You can read the review on the site. This is my most favorite club I've ever hit. And I'm not just saying that. This is an incredible club that you need to check out if you haven't already. I'm going to save so many shots using this club, it's ridiculous, especially on tight par fours, as well as long approach shots. So definitely go out to the site, golfunfiltered.com, to read my review on it. Go out to Srixon.com or SrixonGolf.com to go ahead and check out the ZU65 utility iron. It's the number one iron on the PGA Tour for that purpose, and cannot possibly recommend it highly enough. So without much further ado, let's get back to Mr. Bob Lampkin, president and CEO of Lampkin Grips. Let's go.
I'm happy to spend as much time with you as you like, Adam. Perfect. I appreciate it.
Perfect. And so, you know, as I mentioned, Bob, we can kind of just get right into it. You know, I'm very excited to speak with you and listeners. We're talking to Bob Lampkin. He's the president and CEO of Lampkin Grips. Obviously, anyone who's played the game of golf for more than 10 minutes more than likely has had their hands on a product made by your company. And so before we get too ahead of ourselves, you know, Bob, why don't you let our listeners know a little bit about yourself and your family history and the connection with the game of golf?
Adam, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to go through the history of Lampkin and the new product launches that we have coming up this summer and next year. For the listeners, really what's interesting about Lampkin, which might be a little known fact to a lot of the industry, is that we're the oldest grip manufacturer actually in existence today. It was the company was started in Chicago, outside on the southern suburbs in Beverly, by my grandfather, who started in the leather business, all grips, way back in the 1920s. Our company was established in 1925. The majority of grips were leather grips, and Lampkin was the primary supplier of golf grips to the golf industry back in the 20s. And we can talk, you know, discuss today how it's evolved to where it is here in 2018.
It's an amazing story, and listeners, you can go out to lampkingrips.com to learn a little bit more about the family history. And Bob, as you mentioned, your grandfather started the company around the suburbs of Chicago, which listeners to this show know I'm located around there. And you're now the third generation of that family history, and I can imagine that you've seen a lot in your time associated with the company in terms of just leaps and bounds with a part of the golf equipment landscape that, you know, a lot of people probably don't think too much about, but I'm sure you've seen a lot of innovation.
Well, it's absolutely through the three generations of Lampkin from 1925 to today. It's amazing the transformation that has happened through my grandfather, through my father, and to myself with the industry as it's grown, with the brands that have grown. Back in the day, it was Spalding and Wilson and McGregor, and today it's TaylorMade and Ping and Titleist, Callaway. it's been amazing how the industry has evolved into new brands, with the traditional brand still there in some way, shape, or form, but the industry has really grown with the technology, and the golf companies are just amazing with the product that they're putting out today.
I imagine those times, growing up with your grandfather leading this company, kind of trying out all the new things and learning all about the game of golf. You know, do you have any insight, or, and I'm sure you've had conversations even with your father and your grandfather, about why getting into the golf grip game? You had mentioned your grandfather was in the leather business, but what made that transition to the game of golf?
Sure. Well, my grandfather back in the day was a young man working for a company called Chicago Rawhide. Mm. And back in the day, Chicago Rawhide provided many different leather-produced parts to the automotive industry and whatnot. And he was a young man sitting in a meeting, and Wilson Sporting Goods came to them and said, "Hey, we want to put a leather grip on a golf club." Chicago Rawhide declined, but my grandfather raised his hand and said, "You know what, let me tinker with this a little bit." And he started tinkering with leather grips and tactifying agents and whatnot in his garage, and that's how Lampton Leather Company came to be.
Hmm. That's really interesting, and I'm always just fascinated with how, well-known companies such as yours get their start. And one of the things that really impresses me the most about Lampton, and it always has, is how deeply connected you are with your customers. And even on your website, you have outlined what you believe in from a company mission and vision. And, how have you connected in other ways with your customers over the years, other than just the fact that, we quite literally hold your product in our hands every time we play the game?
Well, I really appreciate, Adam, the comment on that, because it is a single goal of us, for lack of a better term, for our company to remain intimate, if you will, with our customers. That's being a good listener. Hmm. Whether we're sitting in a meeting of Callaway or one of the manufacturers, or there might be a retailer that's in North Carolina that's looking for a solution to a specific grip or a grip that he can't find. His business intrinsically is just as important as the large manufacturer. So what we want to maintain here is a sense of focus and intimacy with the end user, whether it's a consumer, a wholesaler, a small retailer, or a corporate giant.
Which is something that we don't see too much with the bit larger companies. And I'm just so happy to learn that you guys have done this. And I've seen it with my own eyes, too. I mean, I've used your grips throughout. I've been playing golf for over 20 years. I've used Lampton. Many people listening to this have used it as well. It's a name that people know. I imagine, though, that you also get feedback from your customers on an ongoing basis. And maybe could you speak a little bit about how you take that customer feedback, and does it does it impact, from a research and development standpoint, new products that you release?
Well, absolutely. The feedback that we get from golf professionals, greengrass professionals, touring professionals, independent retailers, all people that touch the consumer, they give us feedback on what they'd like to see, what needs to be improved, and, by the way, what we're doing well.
Hmm.
So what we do is we take that that information, we bring it back to R&D and engineering. And for the listeners, they would be, I think, pretty much amazed at the amount of technical engineering that goes into the development and launch of a new grip, which I'm sure we'll touch on later in the show. But we really pride ourselves on being good listeners and then developing from that feedback.
You know, it's something you touched on, which is interesting. I just spoke to Dean Snell, who I'm sure you know, and is someone who's in the independent golf ball industry. And he talked a little bit about how feedback from tour professionals really differ from the average Joe golfer. And I think when listeners hear that, I mean, that's kind of an obvious thing, but I don't quite think that people understand how intricate and how important the feedback from touring professionals is, because this is what they do for a living. And so when you work with a touring professional, how do you follow a similar process with the feedback they provide, or is it something different?
Well, I tell you, the timing of the question couldn't be more perfect for the listeners. I was just off the phone with our tour rep, who is down in Houston this week, and he's working with Justin Rose, who is one of our players. Mm-hmm. And Justin has been a huge supporter of Lampkin and playing Lampkin grips from his teenage days in the UK. And he's working with us on the new TS1 grip. And to give the listeners an idea of how exact tour players are, we slip the grip on. He's playing an REL Ace grip currently with us. And he said, this grip feels larger in the 5 and 6 inch area to my right hand. Right? So we went in and he goes, please measure the grip. The grip was 2/1000 larger in the 5 and 6 inch area. And he felt that.
Wow.
So the preparation for tour players, we measure the gram weights are exacting, the materials are exacting, because they take their grips very seriously in regards to their performance of their equipment. They pay just as much attention to the grip as they do the shaft or the swing weight or the head. It is an understatement to the consumer on how exacting tour players are with their golf grips.
That's incredible. And you know, when we make the comment of someone just striping the ball on TV, that they're being a surgeon with it, I mean, literally they have to feel it in their hands, and it likens it to someone conducting surgery sometimes, just with the sensitivity aspect. That's a great story with Justin Rose. But you know, I want to talk a little bit, Bob, about the new products that you referred to, and I know that you guys have some great things happening over at Lampkin, and what are some of the things that you guys have that consumers can not only get involved with, but also try out on their own equipment?
Well, what's really very excited about this year is we've launching April 1st. We have three new models that we're launching in the swinging grip category. Hmm. We're calling them Sonar, TS1, and Comfort Grip. And each one of these grips are designed for a specific player category. Hmm. For example, the Sonar grip is what I consider to be a universal grip that pretty much all players can take advantage of, consistency, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. The TS1 grip is geared, it's a little bit firmer compound. It's geared as for a tour professional size, and it's a little bit firmer for players that don't like as much torque or softness in the grip. And on the other side of that spectrum is our Comfort Plus grip, which is very soft, and it's for players who really like the softer, oversized feeling grip. All three of the models are a combination of our micro-texture patterns. They vary a little bit. We found a way to really put a dynamic feeling micro-texture on the surface of the grip. Mm-hmm. But what's really exciting to me is the material that's in these three grips have been was an 18-month development on a hybrid base material that gives the grip an exceptional feel, durability. What I love about the hybrid material that we're working with in these grips is that the grip doesn't change its feeling or textures in different weather conditions. It feels the same at 50 degrees. Remember our spring days in Chicago?
I do.
How cold it was? And that grip would resonate right up the shaft, right, if you missed it. Mm-hmm. This material, the material that we put in these new grips, allow that grip to have the same feeling in your hand at 50 degrees that it does at 80 or 90 degrees. It's amazing how great this material feels.
Wow, grips have come a long way since leather, Bob. I mean,
they have.
That's amazing. Oh, they have. And you know, you speak into my heart here, because you know, sitting in the Chicagoland area right now, it's still a little chilly out there, and definitely understand what you're saying about hitting one thin and feeling it a little bit different in my current grips. So, you know, you mentioned a lot of good things there, and you had talked about just the technology that goes into these grips. You know, a lot of times when, for example, I go out to pick up a new set of grips for my clubs and I want to try something new, I don't necessarily have the opportunity to get fit quote unquote, for a grip. You know, I just kind of go and I feel around to see what I think would feel great. And then you kind of have to take that leap of faith as a consumer to make the purchase and put it on all your grips. How does Lampkin kind of help the consumer in that way? And you outline these three great new products. How would I know which one I would want to try over the others?
Well, I tell you, you know, there's another great question. I always say that grip fitting is 50% science and 50% feel.
Mm.
So for players that have, in our market here in the U.S., U.K. and Europe as well, you have to have multiple sizes of the new launch that we have, right? So you have an undersized grip, you have a standard size grip, and you have an oversized grip, or what we call midsize. The player that is doing the regripping can ask advice from the retail partner, golf professionals, wherever they're getting their clubs done. But there's a comfort factor of getting your hands where you feel you're married into that grip, where both hands are working together as a unit and not opposing one another. So it's really player preference. But in addition, there are some standards about how you would want to grip the golf club and the size grip that would go along with that.
Hmm. That's really good to hear, too, because I think, you know, I'm sure you speak to many consumers, as you mentioned earlier. They go in, they take a look at all the different types of grips. They want to try something new that would fit their game the best. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've always wondered is just, there's cord grips versus wraps versus, you know, tour velvets back in the day, I remember. You know, there's all these different types. It's just a matter of, to your words, trying out what you think would work best. But also, I'm sure there are some tips that you could probably give to our listeners to really help them make that decision a little bit better. And insofar, to word it another way, Bob, you know, is there a feature of a grip that people should be looking out for their particular game, whether it be durability or the conditions they play in most frequently outside? What would you recommend someone to keep in mind when they walk up to a store?
Well, you know, what I would caution against with my next comment is that the grip isn't a cure-all for our golf swing, but it can help dramatically. For example, the tour players that we make grips for, some of them will build their grips up at different points of that grip, specifically under the right hand, because the majority of tour players want to take one side of the golf course out of play. So if they build up their lower hand, obviously for a right-handed golfer, the right hand, what that does is it slows their release at impact so they can get their speed and still hit that hard, big cut out there with their driver. For us as our weekend warriors, if you're slicing the ball, you might want to consider having a smaller lower hand grip so you can get your hands to speed up and release. For those that hear hitting their hooks, you might want to have a less tapered grip to keep yourself from getting that right hand or that lower hand to overtake at impact and hitting the hook. So the size of the grip that you have on your golf club can actually determine or help you with your shot shape.
See, and that's, listeners, that's the stuff that you're not going to get at a store most often. I mean, that we're talking to the guy that definitely puts this out there and creates opportunities for you to improve your game. And Bob, you know, I'm sure you and I could talk forever on this topic, and I just have a couple more questions for you here. But, you know, one of the things that I also noticed about Lampkin is you offer many things in addition to the regular grips, quote unquote. You also offer specialty grips, you know, for people that might have specific needs. And do you see that you're going to, in the future, branch out into other ways to help those who may need assistance with holding a golf club, or perhaps even different ways to help grow the game, again, with a product that everyone has to use?
Well, that's another, Adam, I love the question, because what we're working on right now, I'm going to address the junior market what we want to do, and I think it's everyone in the golf industry's responsibility, regardless of what you're supplying or who you are, to grow the game of golf. And that comes from our youngsters coming into the game And what we've avoided for the most part or haven't done a really good job with is developing products specifically for the junior community to come in and actually get the right grip because they're playing with the right size grip. So what we're doing at Lambkin is we're working on, for example, our new launches of TS1 or Sonar. What we have to do is invest back into our game and make a grip that is the right size for a youngster, girl, boy, that's 10, 11, 12 years old, because they're in no man's land right there, right? The standard grips for us in the market today are just too big for them. And what happens is they develop the wrong grip early, and then it's very difficult to correct that grip when they get to be older. So what we want to do is really invest in the smaller grips that's fitted specifically for the juniors to invest back into the game.
That's a great idea, and I'm glad that companies like yours are taking those initiatives to grow the game and make it more accessible and enjoyable for golfers of any age and skill level. And, you know, Bob, listeners, once again, we're talking to Bob Lambkin, President and CEO of Lambkin Grips. You know, one of the things that I've always wondered, and I've heard different opinions on this, and I'll let you go after this question, is, you know, should I have the same grip type throughout my bag? I've got friends that say, no, I like a different type of grip for my wedges. Obviously, the putter's kind of a different animal. It's a very personal thing. But in your opinion, do you feel that you should have one consistent grip throughout the bag, or is there value in maybe having a mixture?
Well, I believe from my experience with our tour players, as we've developed with our grips and our line going forward here in 18, is the consistency from driver into your irons. I would concur that we would want to have a standard grip throughout that set. What we have learned from our tour players and what we've launched is our Crossline 1150 grip, which is longer and has less taper for your wedges. And what that allows the player to do from our testing is it keeps your hands, that longer grip with the larger, less taper, allows the player to have his hands less active during the chip or the sand shot, which then utilizes the functionality of the sand wedge. So my suggestion back to our listeners today is to consider a little bit larger grip for your sand wedges and your chipping to take the wristiness out of that shot.
I've written that down, and I'm going to take that advice. I could definitely use that help. You know, listeners, again, we're talking to Bob Lambkin. He's the president and CEO of Lambkin Grips. Be sure to keep an eye out on April 1st, right, is the release date for the new three new products, the Sonar, the TS1, and the Comfort Plus Grip. But also go out to lambkingrips.com to check out all the great options they have out there. Bob, let's do this again. I had a lot of fun speaking with you today.
Adam, thanks a lot. I appreciate the time.